he's saying in verse 4 before he gets to verse 5 is, has all this fabulous stuff that God's been doing, has that been for nothing? You didn't start it. You don't have control over it. It's obviously coming from somewhere else. And is that for nothing? And so that's my interpretation of it, and you're welcome to hold whatever opinion. I do believe that that word Pasco, when it's used as experiencing something in a good way, fits the context better, especially if you jump right into verse 5. And verse 5 gives me some time to editorialize a little, like Mike did 2 weeks ago. I knew he would. About the basis of blessings. It's odd that even when you can wrestle us into believing, most of evangelicals, Mike said the same thing, most evangelicals probably would take the position that, yes, we know we are saved because of what Jesus did. We didn't deserve it. But then we will adopt a posture that God's blessing in our lives depends on us. It depends on us earning it and deserving it, when none of God's blessings have ever been earned or deserved. They're all by grace. He just points out two of them that are obviously out of our control and not self-generated. He says, verse 5, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you keep the law or because you believe what you heard? God said he would, you believe that, and he's doing it. Once again, the most logical answer to that is before, while God was doing all these miracles and giving them the Holy Spirit, they didn't even know the law. So the law had nothing to do with it. And once again, that's a very brilliant logical argument. There's one little grammatical thing it would bug me if I didn't tell you. I'm in love with participles. I love participles. That's not the little vegetable that looks like a carrot. That's parsnips. Participles. These words give, the verb give. Does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles? Both of those are present active participles. It would be more correct in English. You'd have more the flavor of the Greek if you rendered it. Is God giving you the Holy Spirit and working miracles among you because you keep the law or because you believe what you heard? And the reason why I point that out is because it's not a hypothetical point he's making. He's saying, look, you received the Holy Spirit. You know you did. You know it happened. You know he's in there. I will never forget Tim, 2 Sundays in a row, came up to me after church on Sunday, and he said, Pastor Bob, I'm there. I said, what do you mean? And he said, I have Jesus in me. And I said, well, I knew that. But he says, but now I know it. He says, I know that he's in me. How do you know that he's in you? By the way, that fact will be challenged. Possibly you've experienced this. After you gave your life to Jesus and you knew he came in and you felt euphoric for a while, and then the devil starts his smutty little eyes, you know, how do you know you were really saved? You know, nobody else has these flesh problems that you do. You know, you're not a very good Christian. Maybe you're not really saved. You know, all those little smutty lies that he tells all of us. But they knew. And here's the point I wanted to make about the present participles. God didn't just do that when they first got saved. God was still doing it. If God only did it because you earned it or you deserved it, it wouldn't have happened at first. It might be true. Once in a while, I do a good thing. God blesses me. It is just irresistible for me to connect the dots in the wrong place and think that God blessed me because I did that good thing. I'm so polluted that if God blesses me really big, the first thing I start doing is looking and saying, what good thing did I do? You know what it must have been? I read an extra chapter in my devotions this week. It had to be it. Oh, I know I did witness to somebody. And we're groping right in way in our, we're looking for some reason why we deserve this to be happening. This, at its root, is the cause of people who are angry with God, and I know lots of them. Because they feel like they've done all the right things, and God didn't bless them, and they feel like God owes me. I know a woman who almost renounced her Christianity over the fact that somebody broke into her house and stole her VCR. And when she was talking to me about it, she said, look, I pay my tithes. And I thought, what is that, an insurance premium? I pay my tithes. God, you got to watch over my stuff. But that's what she expected. God, I've been a good little girl. How dare somebody steal my VCR? And I don't know women. And I probably didn't even have a right to say this. But Bob boldly going where no sane person would go, I said, well, what about when Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on the earth where thieves break in and steal? Why would he say that for what's happening right now in your heart? He already told you how he feels about your VCR. If it's a treasure, you're cruising because people can break in and steal that treasure. So don't make it a treasure. But to say that God owed you to protect your stuff because you paid your tithes. I want to talk about this for a minute because this has been a very transforming thing for me. It's a two-sided coin. The one side is if God blesses me extraordinarily, and I immediately start looking for what I did right. If I don't get the blessing, or if something bad happens, I start looking for what I did wrong. And do you see, Mike tried to point this out 2 weeks ago. Do you see the wrong picture of God that paints? That just paints a completely different picture of God than the one the Bible paints. The picture the Bible paints is a God who's kind and provides for stubborn, stinky, rebellious Israel for 40 years across the wilderness. The God who sent his son to pay for a debt that rightfully we should have had to pay, but he knew we couldn't. This is a God who doesn't give us what we deserve, but gives us what we never could deserve and earn. This is a God who deals with us according to grace, which is all about believing and receiving, not earning and not deserving. Here's a thing that happens often. I've observed it in myself. I'm embarrassed to say. When you have been good and you've tried especially hard to be good and you're expecting sort of, grin and wink, you're kind of expecting a special blessing because I've been really good. And then God not only doesn't bless you, but he blesses somebody else and you know you're more spiritual than they are. And you're ticked off. How dare you? You saved her husband. And she doesn't even pray for him. You gave him a wife. I'm much more godly than he is. You know that whole deal? How stinky it is. All of God's blessings are grace. They're all unearned. They're all deserved. They always have been. It's true that there are some conditional promises in Scripture where God, for lots of them in the Old Testament when God was governing Israel, and he said, here, if you do this, I'll do this. And you say, well, there you go. There's God's blessing depending on earning it. And I always want to say, well, wait a minute. God didn't have to make that deal. God says, here's something for you to do. But it was always a deal that God made that he didn't have to. So it was grace to begin with. I want to tell you another area that just recently in my life, it's only been a couple of years, I'm embarrassed. I've been teaching on grace and believing the message of grace for almost 40 years, and there's still stuff with legalism that's dying, and it's concerning provision. I had a period of time a few years ago, some of you knew me back then, where I was going in the whole $2,000 a month. I'd lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on my home. I'd lost everything. And And I had more financial need and less income probably than I've ever had in my whole life. So every week was, I'd need a miracle. And of course, God was so faithful. Now I look back on it and I think it was silly to ever worry about it, because he, I don't know how he did it. It didn't even make sense on paper, but he did. He always provided for me. But I remember one night, I just reverted back to that old denomination, that old legalistic thing concerning provision. And that is that if you trust in God, God will take care of you. But see, the problem was, I didn't trust God. So I got in this brain loop of thinking, well, I need God to take care of me, but I don't believe he will. And he knows I don't believe he will, so he won't take care of me. And I'm in this loop, and I'm tossing back and forth, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? If God, I can't lie to him. He knows I don't trust him. So he's never going to take care of me because I don't trust him. And I remember, I just, you know, this is what happens with me and the Lord. I, you know, in the days when I used to get frantic all the time, he just waits for me to wear myself out. And then I've worn myself out, then he speaks to my heart and he said, son, we need to get something straight between us. I am going to take care of you because I'm your father. I'll always take care of you because I'm your father. It's not about how good of a son you are. It's about how good of a father I am. I will take care of you whether you believe me or not. The reason I want you to believe me is so you won't have any more nights like this. If you just believe that I'm your father and I'm going to take good care of you, this will never happen again. Can I tell you something? It's never happened again because I believed him. But I'm still seeing those little performance-based loops that I get into. And that's why this is so important, that I understand not just my salvation, but all of God's blessings. Can't be earned. They can't be deserved. It is true that God does ask me to do certain things. That's for my benefit. I'll tell you, here's another thing he's done to cure me of this performance-based blessing thing. God has done some of the most wonderful blessings in my life that he's ever done when I absolutely knew I stunk. In fact, I got the news of one of fabulous blessing from God, and I had to be interrupted in my sin. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I mean, I was as fleshly as you could possibly be when I got a phone call saying, congratulations, you have just received a fabulous blessing from God. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, oh, man. Because I know he knows. I don't deserve it. And he picked that moment to bless me. Now, I'm embarrassed to say that, but folks, isn't that the story of the Bible? Doesn't that happen over and over and over and over and over in the Bible? In fact, I'm thinking of Romans 5:8. God showed his love, demonstrated his love to us in that while we were still sinners, he gave us the very biggest blessing he could give us. He gave us Jesus to die for our sins. So this whole thing of God's only going to bless me if I'm good, and I have to be especially good if I want an especially big blessing, it just paints a different picture of God. It's not accurate. He is gracious. Well, there's so many things I wanted to say about that. One of my favorite quotes, I have about five more minutes, don't I? Okay, then I want to just get this one quote from my pastor, Chuck Smith. He said, you know, the longer that I know the Lord, I know two things. He said, one, I know I don't deserve his blessings, and the other is I expect him to bless me. I just know he will. I know he will. I know I don't deserve it. And he said, so because of that, I never approach him on the basis of deserving. I never ask him to do something and throw in my resume along with it and say, now, God, I've worked really hard this week. I want you to do this. He said, I always hide behind Jesus. I just come in and I say, Jesus, I'm with you. Father, I'm with him, and I need you to do something. And then I'm just hide behind Jesus. So what he looks at is he sees the worthiness of Christ. And I think, man, that's a good way to be. Next week, we'll pick up looking at Abraham. I find it really interesting that these people were bringing the Old Testament Mosaic law to bear upon Gentiles, that it didn't apply to them and they were misusing it. And so Paul, when he's making his defense about salvation and blessing by grace versus keeping the law, he goes to the Old Testament. He uses Old Testament examples. He uses Old Testament scripture. I think it's brilliant. I do not pretend to be an expert at this. I do tell you every time I study this, I walk away with a grin on my face. It is such good news. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for saying it to me once again. Thank you for taking the weight off of our shoulders, start to finish. We'd still be dead people spiritually if you hadn't made us alive, and we'll be finished and get home and have an eternal party and fellowship with you simply because of your faithfulness and your grace. And all you've asked us to do is to believe that, not fight you. We are desperate for you, Lord, lost without you. But with you, one day at a time, walking with you, we have everything we need for life and for godliness. So remind us when we're being lied to. We know what a punk our enemy is. Remind us when he's beating us up, Lord. Take us back to your word. You don't lie. It does seem too good to be true. But the more I study, the more it looks exactly like you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.